This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And it's a very good morning to Greens Senator for Victoria, Senator Janet Rice. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell.
Thanks for joining the program.
My pleasure. First
of all, on this whole dual nationals, dual citizenship, Section 44I in the Constitution situation, are you, I suppose, a bit bemused about how much time this is taking away from federal politics and some of the other issues that are up for discussion at the moment?
Oh, look, it's just a total schmovel. And our position as Greens is that obviously this all came to light when Scott Ludlam and Larissa Waters, our Green senators, discovered that they had dual nationality, and they did the right thing. They acted with integrity. They resigned, which is what we feel that every other member of parliament that has since discovered that should be doing that as well. And we've been calling for an audit of all federal MPs so that we can actually make this very clear, and then we can work out who's eligible to enter the parliament, who's not, and then move on to the other important things that we should be talking about, you know, whether it be the, you know, the widening gap between rich and poor, whether it's climate change, whether it's tackling the what's happening with refugees in our country. These are the things that we should be focused on. And while we're not, it's just, you know, it's a debacle. It really is.
Yeah, you make a fair point. I think everyone should be audited. But you are obviously saying that people should act with integrity and stand down. But at the same time, with Scott Ludlam and Larissa Waters, you know, would they have stood down if this same legal advice had apparently been available back then that says that, you know, if you didn't know that you were a citizen, that there may be some sort of exemption? That's what everyone else is now using to say that they should stay in the parliament, like Barnaby Joyce, Nick Xenophon and all the rest of it?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's surprising. It's the different legal advice, because certainly when Scott and Larissa, when they discovered that they were dual nationals, we absolutely sought legal advice on their behalves. And they found that it was pretty clear that the Constitution says that if you have citizenship of another country, that you are not eligible to stand for Parliament, which is why they felt, you know, very sadly that they needed to act in accordance with that advice, act with integrity and stand down. What the Liberal Party in particular, what the government and the Prime Minister seem to be saying is that they can preempt what the High Court's going to say. So clearly we'll have to wait until the High Court challenge is heard in October. But meanwhile, we just continue on with this debacle. And I think the very least we should have, there should be consistency in the government. We had Matt Canavan who stood down from the ministry. So Barnaby Joyce and Fiona Nash, who are both also ministers, should at the very, very least be following that example and should not be ministers in the government today, given the uncertainty in the cloud hanging over their heads.
Were you nervous? Did you have to take a few steps back and look at your own family history to see if you might be a citizen of a foreign power?
Well, for me, I had to think, I'm a dual citizen of Victoria and South Australia. So I decided that was okay.
Well, if that's as bad as it gets, I think you're doing pretty well. Now, in terms of the same-sex marriage postal survey, obviously there's been dispute about whether there should be a plebiscite or vote in the parliament, but at the end of the day, we've got it. Are you confident that this postal survey will return a resounding yes vote?
Look, we know that there's an overwhelming majority of Australians who support marriage equality, who want to see people to be able to marry the person they love, and who want, you know, equality under the law for everybody, regardless of their sexuality or gender identity. We can't be confident because in the postal, in a non-binding, so a voluntary postal survey, it's going to very much depend upon who returns their ballot papers. And we know that younger people in particular are less likely to, first of all, be on the roll, even though we've had a massive increase in enrolment. There's still hundreds of thousands of young Australians aged between 18 and 25 who aren't on the electoral roll. So it's going to come down to, like in elections overseas, not what we're used to here in Australia, of a big focus during this campaign of getting out the vote. But I'm very confident, given that there is such overwhelming support, that there will be a yes vote in this plebiscite. But then, of course, at the end of the day, because it's non-binding on the government, we still have to have a vote in the parliament, which is why our position has been, look, you know, such a time-wasting, expensive, hurtful, divisive process that we're going through, when when even after we've gone through it, there's got to be a vote in the Parliament. I'm one of the people that's taken a challenge to the High Court, which is going to be heard in a fortnight's time, and I've still got this hope that the High Court, in fact, will strike down this postal plebiscite, and then we can move on very quickly to having the vote in the Parliament, so for Parliament to do its job, and we can be finally voting for marriage equality here in Australia.
If this issue has to be decided by a public vote, would it have been better to have a plebiscite with attendance voting and compulsory voting, or is a postal plebiscite the way to go?
Look, both of them aren't totally not the way that we should have been moving on this issue. We don't need to be having a public vote, and you don't put issues of human rights to a public vote, and that's what it is. We didn't change our racial discrimination laws on the basis of a public vote. We didn't get our sex discrimination on the basis of a public vote. And when John Howard changed the Marriage Act in 2004 to specify that marriage was between a man and a woman, he didn't need a postal plebiscite or any sort of public vote. He just did it and moved it in the Parliament. So both ways are unacceptable. But given that that's, if our High Court challenge isn't successful, given that that's where we are, we will be fighting this with, huge amount of energy and determination. And there's a massive amount of public support, as was shown by the huge turnout at the rally in Melbourne on Saturday, where there was around 20,000 people took to the streets with this huge show of support and a show of love for people to be able to express their love and to marry the person that they love.
But I suppose my question is, with the senators voting down the plebiscite because you disagreed with it, which was obviously the right thing to do, have we sort of inadvertently got a worse form of voting, which is this postal plebiscite?
They're equally bad, because a compulsory plebiscite would have, the hate campaign that we're already seeing with this postal plebiscite would have been even more pronounced, because everybody would have needed to vote. So it was, everybody would have been forced to engage with the issues, and certainly the way that a lot of the no vote is currently being put out is very hurtful to same-sex couples, and very hurtful to particularly children of same-sex couples and young people who are same-sex attracted. So that compulsory plebiscite that we didn't need to have, I feel very strongly that we did the right thing in knocking it back in the Senate. This postal vote, which is non-binding, non-compulsory, again, it's not where we want to be. But if it's if the High Court challenge isn't successful, we're going to make the best of it. And people I know are going to come together and resoundingly vote yes.
Last of all, on Australia Day, we've seen the councils of Yarra and Darabin taking a stand on this issue, and the government said you cannot host any citizenship surveys, and from what I understand, you have volunteered to conduct the citizenship ceremonies so that they can still go ahead in those local government areas just on days other than Australia Day. You said that you're confident that the population of Australia supports same-sex marriage. Are you confident that the broad population of Australia supports moving Australia Day?
Look, I think it's a debate that's very live in the community, and there is increasing awareness of how Australia Day, the 26th of January, is not the appropriate date to be having a national celebration. I think across the country, there's huge support for what a terrific country Australia is, that there's, we need to have a day that we can come together and celebrate all that's great about Australia, but the 26th of January, people are increasingly realising, isn't the date to be doing that. The 26th of January at the, recognising the date of first settlement is an important date for us to acknowledge, but it's not a date that can be an inclusive celebratory date with the first Australians feeling just as much part of that celebration as all other Australians. So I'm not sure as yet whether there's a majority view in support of that, but I know that there's increasing recognition. And that's what the City of Yarra and Darabin, in saying that they weren't not going to hold citizenship ceremonies on Australia Day, is basically acknowledging that, look, we've got to have this conversation. There isn't, there is increasing concern about using the 26th of January as our national day. And let's work out, what day what's the appropriate day to have that we can have that very inclusive Australia Day celebration.
Senator, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Mitchell.
Thank you, Senator Janet Bryce there, Greens Senator for Victoria.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.